Well, good morning. Good morning. I am really glad you're here today. You know, Jim used to tease me for years every time I preached. Seemed like everybody else was traveling and gone other places, and he said they should keep it secret that I was the one preaching. And so we get to church this morning, and Danny comes in and goes, "People must have heard you were preaching today." So it goes on and on and on, doesn't it? I want to talk to you about something that is probably not talked about a whole lot. And, you know, John, the passage that was read by Zach today, John talked about three different baptisms. And I want to introduce that by talking just for a moment about what Paul said in Romans chapter 1. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Are you ashamed of the gospel? What would it mean to be ashamed of the gospel? Are you afraid to say something to someone else about it? I was talking to Sean Hanley here recently, and his wife has just gone through cancer. And she had very serious health problems. And I said, "How are y'all doing?" And he said, "I can tell you one thing. She is not afraid to talk to somebody about their soul now." He said, "She's got a sense of urgency. She'll tell you about the gospel in the elevator." I mean, she's not ashamed of the gospel. I hope you're not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel, the word gospel means good news of salvation. But what I want to notice and talk briefly about today is this. He's not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God's salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What does that mean? To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, we don't have any Jewish people in here today, do we? Mario with his new beard cuts looking a little like an Orthodox Jew today. But realistically, really, we don't have any Jewish people. We're all Greeks or Gentiles compared to the Jews, okay? And back in this day, there were two very distinct groups in the world. There were Jews and there were non-Jews. And Paul is saying here, the gospel is salvation for the Jews and for the non-Jews. Well, have you ever bothered to say anything like that? I mean, why would you say that? Why would you say, "Well, it's for the Jews and the non-Jews"? I mean, it's obvious everyone can be saved, right? Wasn't obvious to them. And I want to go back and look at something that Zach read part of it for us this morning. And this is the story about the three baptisms that John mentions. Now, what's going on here is this. The Bible tells us that John came to the River Jordan to preach. And he went to the River Jordan. You know why he went there? Because there was lots of water. And people came by the thousands to be baptized. They came to hear him preach. And he was a weird dude. I mean, he wore camel skins, and he ate grasshoppers and lived out in the wild. I mean, it was a strange sight. People came to see it. They came to hear and see what's going on, and they'd hear him preach. And you know what he preached? "You need to repent of your sins. Does that sound familiar to you? Have you ever heard that? You need to repent of your sins. I would say today, if you've been baptized and you're a Christian, it was because you heard somebody preach to you, you need to repent of your sins, right? We understand. That was his message. You need to repent of your sins. And he's preaching and people are coming to be baptized and he looks up and here come those old snakes, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And they come to just see what's going on. What's John up to? What's he teaching? So we can bring charges against him ostensibly. And he looks up and he sees them and he goes, "Who warned you to come, you vipers, you snakes?" He said, "You're just a den of snakes." He said, "I'm going to tell you what, the axe is laid to the root of the tree." What does that mean? You ever want to get a tree out? You dig a hole and you take an axe and you cut the roots. He said, "The axe is laid to the root of the tree because it's unfruitful and it's going to be taken down and burned up." He said, "I want to tell you something. You see what I'm doing here, this baptism?" He said, "I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I am. His sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Right after that, you know what happens? Up walks a guy named Jesus, cousin of John the Baptist. And he comes and he says, "John, I'm here to be baptized." And John looks at him, he goes, "You need to baptize me. I don't need to baptize you." And Jesus said, "Let's do this to fulfill all righteousness." And so John then baptizes Jesus Christ in water. And when he does, the heavens open up and the Holy Spirit comes down like a dove and God speaks out of heaven. And he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." Now what I want to talk about a little bit this morning is these three baptisms that John talks about. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What is the baptism of fire? We know what baptism of water is, right? We've got a water baptistry right here, so we've baptized people in water here. But what's Holy Spirit baptism? What is baptism of the fire? You know, sometimes if you ever watch TBN or one of those religious broadcasting networks, you'll see people on there and they'll be dancing and they'll be jumping and they'll be doing crazy stuff. You see videos about it where people are making fun of it really. And a lot of times people say, "Well, that's baptism of the Holy Spirit." That's what's going on is the Holy Spirit baptism in that case. We're going to talk about what that is. But what I want to start with is what's the baptism of fire? He's going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Look at what he says. "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." What does it mean to be baptized with fire? Have you been baptized with fire? Are you going to be baptized? We got one young lady going, "Nope, I've never been baptized with fire." Hope you never are too. What's he talking about? Sometimes people say, "Well, you know, in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came on them, the Bible says there were tongues like a fire that came down out of heaven, and maybe that's what he's talking about." Well, maybe, except for the fact that this is a classic passage that if you read the verse above and the verse below, you'll know exactly what he's talking about. You know, one of the things that's critical for you to learn as a Christian is if you're going to understand the Bible, you don't just grab a verse, but you got to read the verses above it and the verses below it so you know what he's talking about, right? This is one of those passages. Let's look at those verses. "Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Who's he talking to? Do you remember? He's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. These rulers of Israel who were wicked and corrupt. And he said, if you don't bear good fruit, you're going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize with water for repentance, but he who's coming after me is mightier than I. His sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He'll baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. Now look what he says next. His winnowing fork is in his hand. What's a winnowing fork? Well, it's an implement they used to separate grain from all the husk that was on the grain. He said, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff, he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now what's going on here is this. These people have come to watch John baptize, and John's saying, listen, you're unrepentant. You've got hard hearts. You're not here because you want to learn. You're not here because you want to do what's right. You're just here to see what's going on and to try to bring charges against me. And he said, there's nothing I can do about it. But I'm going to tell you something. There's one that's coming. In fact, he's a guy who's fixing to be baptized here. There's one that's coming. And when he comes, he's going to bring baptism of fire. What's a baptism of fire then? It's a baptism of destruction, right? He's going to destroy those who don't bring good fruit. He's going to destroy the unrepentant. Did you know this theme is all throughout Scripture? Look at this passage with me. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. He's painting a picture of a day of judgment. And he says every one of us is going to stand before whose judgment seat? Jesus. And who's going to judge us? Jesus. And what's he going to give us? Well, he's going to give us what is due, whether we've produced good fruit or bad fruit. I want to read one more verse about this. 2 Thessalonians 1. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction. So what I'm telling you right now is when you look at the context, the fire is destruction on people who are unrepentant, on people who produce bad fruit like the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. This isn't a command. This is a warning from God. And it's a warning to the people he was talking to. This, if you don't repent, if you don't produce good fruit, if you don't change your heart and come to God, there will be a day of reckoning. There will be a day of judgment. Did you know that's true today, just like it was back then? This paints a picture, the verse we just read here, paints a picture of Jesus' return. I turned on the TV one time and one of these religious shows was on. This guy was preaching in a big church there, and he said, we're going to have rapture practice. I thought, this might be interesting. Let's see what they're going to do. And he had everyone go, wee, wee, pretend like they're, you know, Jesus is coming back. Yay, it's going to... I want to tell you, it'll be wonderful for Christians, but for people who aren't Christians, it's not going to be a wonderful day. It's not going to be a good day. It's going to be a terrible day. And that's what motivates us to want to tell other people about Jesus and not let them just go to their destiny and their destruction. Call people to repentance. So there's the baptism of fire. What about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The baptism of the Holy Spirit, interestingly enough, is only mentioned by name 6 times in the Bible. 4 of them are the 4 gospel accounts of what Zach read for us this morning. That account is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that's 4 of the times baptism of the Holy Spirit is mentioned. The other times are in Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, where Jesus talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 11, Peter, standing before the other apostles, reminds them of what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 15, or verse 5 rather. So let's look at this baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was prophesied, without using the phrase baptism of the Holy Spirit, by a prophet named Joel 9 centuries before Jesus. And this guy said this, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and the female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit." So Joel, 9 centuries before Jesus, says that the day is coming that He'll pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. This is what Zach read for us here, that Jesus would come then and baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now in Acts chapter 1, we find what Jesus said. Acts chapter 1, Jesus says this, "While staying with them, He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, 'You heard from Me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" A couple of interesting things here. Number one, He doesn't mention the baptism of fire here, right? Why not? Because He's not talking to Sadducees and Pharisees. He's not talking to the unrepentant. He's talking to the apostles. And He says, listen, this was promised by the Father. When? Through Joel. 9 centuries before. And He said, John talked about this too. John mentioned it. And He said, here's what's going to happen. He said someone would come to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And He said, guys, I want you to go to Jerusalem and you wait there, because you are the ones who are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit in just a few days. So Jesus narrows this timeline down. He tells them to go into Jerusalem and wait, and this will happen. So we turn a page in your Bible to Acts chapter 2, and they are in Jerusalem waiting. And the Bible says when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. So this is the day of Pentecost. It's a big celebration. People who are devout followers of God, Jews, came from a long way off. Everyone wanted to come to Jerusalem for this celebration. So they get to Jerusalem. They're all there in the temple. There's lots of people around from lots of different nations. They're all Jews, but they live in different places, so they speak different languages. And they're filled with the Holy Spirit, the apostles are, and they began to talk in other languages. Now, speaking in tongues wasn't gibberish. I know if you turn on the TV and you watch the channels, it'll be hukalabahalaru, and I'm not mocking that. I'm just saying that it's gibberish. It doesn't make any sense because they're not saying anything. But in the Bible, speaking in tongues wasn't that. Speaking in tongues meant speaking in a different language. Okay? Now, when I go places, I have to learn their language or have a translator. Yancey's gone to Nigeria. Can you speak any Igbo, Yancey? Not a word. Dewu. Dewu. Okay, that's a Nigerian greeting, okay? And when we're in Nigeria, when we get up, we say, Dewu. And everyone there knows what we're talking about. But I'm like Yancey. I've been over there many times. I can't talk Igbo. I have to have a translator. They had the miraculous ability to speak in any language. Better than Google Translate, okay? I mean, they could really talk and converse in any language. And that was evidence at this case that they'd been baptized by the Holy Spirit. So you got all these Jews together. The apostles are baptized with the Holy Spirit. And look what happens. Some of the people are confused by this, because if I just started speaking in Igbo, you'd think I'd lost my mind because it sounds crazy, right? Some people are going, these guys are drunk. And Peter stands up and he goes, guys, we're not drunk. It's early in the morning. We hadn't got drunk yet. That's not what it is. He says this, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. These people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, so it's 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, guys, these people aren't drunk. This is what Joel was talking about 9 centuries ago when he said the Holy Spirit will be poured out on everyone. This is what Jesus was talking about just a few days earlier when he said, go in Jerusalem and wait because you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And what's going to happen is there's going to be miraculous signs. People are going to speak in other languages they're not going to have to study. They're going to know these languages. It's going to be a miracle. And not only that, at that point when this happens, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. Anyone who wants to come to the Lord Jesus at this point can be saved. And this was the beginning, the opening of the gospel. This is the very first time salvation in Jesus was ever preached. Do you remember through His life, Jesus did things like one time He came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi and asked His disciples, who do people think I am? And they said, well, some think you're John the Baptist, some think you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said, who do you think I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And He said, you're blessed and I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You're going to be the one who preaches the gospel. And then He told them, don't go tell people this. Don't tell people who I am. Why not? Why wouldn't Jesus want to tell people who He was? Because it wasn't yet time. The Spirit hadn't yet been given and the gospel was not yet open to the world. But at this point here in Acts chapter 2, the gospel has been opened to the world. And so He preaches this sermon. He talks to them about Jesus. The Bible says that they were pricked in their hearts. That means they were convicted. And they said, what do we need to do? We just killed the Son of God. And Peter's answer was this, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So those who received His word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the very first time in the Bible you read about people being saved, being made right with God. And this happened here in Acts chapter 2. Now, they rock along. The church grows. There's thousands, 3,000 this day, 5,000 a few days later, and there's thousands and thousands. But one of the things that happens is they are all Jews. There are no Gentiles. Everyone who's saved is a Jew. Not even one Gentile has been saved. And there's this guy named Cornelius who is a Roman soldier. He's a Gentile. He's not a Jew. And he's been praying. He's a faithful man and he's prayed to God. And God said, I tell you what, send an angel down to him and tell him to send for Peter. So they send an angel down. The angel says, go send for Peter. He sends for Peter, who is in a nearby town. While these men are on the way to get Peter, Peter is up on the roof and he's hungry and he has a vision. And the vision is of this huge sheet being let down out of heaven. And the four corners are together and when it's let down, it's opened up. And there's all kinds of animals in this sheet. And the angel says to Peter, or God says to Peter, get up, Peter, kill something and eat it. And he looks and you know what's in the sheet are like camels and pigs and stuff that the law of Moses said you can't eat. And he goes, oh no, Lord. He said, I've never eaten anything that's unclean. I've never eaten anything that you said was common. He said, I don't do that, Lord. And the Lord said, Peter, what I've called holy, don't you call it common. What I've called clean, don't you call it unclean. And he goes back up into heaven. He goes, man, that was weird. Would you think that was weird if you saw that happen? And you'd wonder what that meant. And all of a sudden the sheet comes down again. It says, get up, Peter, kill it. Kill something and eat it. And he goes, no, Lord, it's unclean. And he said, what I called clean, don't you call it unclean. Goes back up. Happens a third time. Goes back up again. Same stuff. After the third time, Peter's going, man, I don't really know what's going on here. And the Lord speaks to him and he said, Peter, I've sent some people to come get you. And I want you to go with them. So he goes downstairs and the guys from Cornelius arrive. Now Cornelius is a Gentile. It was against the law for Jews to go in and eat with Gentiles. They stayed away from them. And when they come, he goes, well, the Lord told me to go, so I'm going to go. And he begins to think about it. And he gets there, when he finally gets to Cornelius' house, and he understands. He looks around, he sees all these Gentiles gathered here to hear the gospel. And he goes, ah, I know what that vision was about. That vision was about this. He said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or visit anyone of another nation. He said, you know that it's against the law for me to come here, but God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. He understands the vision now. And he says this, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. So here you've got this Roman centurion, and he's received this vision, said, send for Peter. And Peter receives a vision, says, you go. We're not calling Gentiles unclean anymore. So Peter got this vision and all, but you know, Peter didn't travel by himself. There's a bunch of other guys with Peter. And they know, if I said, hey, Kent, come with me. You're going with me. And Ryan, you guys gather up. We're going to take a bunch of us and we're going to go with this guy. And we get there and you look up and it's like something that's illegal. And I had a vision from God, but you didn't know about it. And we're here to do something that's illegal. And you hear me stand up and say, you know, God showed me in a vision that this wasn't illegal. Are you going to buy that? Are you going to question that? I would. I'd be going, yeah, you know, I'm not sure how to be here. So you know what God does? While Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. The believers from among the circumcision who had come with Peter were amazed. That's all these people that came with Peter. They see the Holy Spirit fall on these guys. What were they amazed for? Because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. They look and they go, this is crazy. Peter was right. God is accepting everyone now, not just Jews. This is awesome. And so Peter says, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine? Wouldn't it have been neat to be there when this guy was baptized? When Cornelius was baptized and his family? The word gets back to Jerusalem that Peter and his fellows that traveled with him went in and taught the gospel to Gentiles. And that was a problem. So when Peter gets back, these people call him and they go, hey, dude, you need to come explain yourself to us because you did something illegal. And he goes to them and he talks to them and he tells them the story. And then he says, just as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. He said, do you remember what happened back in Acts 2? He didn't say Acts 2, but back on the day of Pentecost. Do you remember what happened to us? He said, I start preaching to these guys, and the same thing happened to them that happened to us. And then I remembered the word of the Lord. When that happened, he goes, I remember what Jesus said to us. How he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Why does he remember that? Because that's what's going on here. That's what happened to them back on the day of Pentecost. And these people were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he said, if then God gave them the same gift as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? So he tells those guys, he said, listen, the angel told me to go. I went. I got there. I was preaching. And the same thing that happened to you happened to these guys. And what could I do? God did this. And he opened the gospel to the Gentiles just like he did to the Jews. And the next verse, which I don't have up here, said they all rejoiced that God had granted salvation to the Gentiles as to the Jews. So what you had is you had the apostles in Acts chapter 2. You had the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. You had Jews, and Peter preached to those Jews in Acts chapter 2. And Peter preached then to Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. Just like Jesus had told him, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And when you open it, it's going to be opened. Peter in Acts chapter 2 opened the gospel of salvation to the Jews. And in Acts chapter 10, he opened it to the Gentiles. And that's why he said, as on us at the beginning. This didn't happen everywhere they went. This didn't happen at every church service. This didn't happen every time someone got saved. This happened two times. Once to the Jews, to let Jews be saved, and then once to the Gentiles, for all other mankind. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the purpose of that was to open the kingdom of God so people can be saved. It's important that you understand as we talk about this, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was never a command. No one was ever commanded to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was a promise. It was prophesied. It was promised by John. And then Jesus said to the apostles, it's going to happen to you. And then Acts 10, Peter says, it's the same thing that happened to us in Acts chapter 2 for the Gentiles. So now that leaves us with one last baptism, and that's the baptism of water. The baptism of water, it's the only baptism in the Bible that's a command. All the other baptisms were promises or warnings. But this is a baptism that's a command. In Acts chapter 2, you know what Peter told those people after he began to preach? He said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. They said, okay, what's that mean? How do we do that? What are we supposed to do? He said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. Almost said remission, because that's the old King James that I memorized years ago. For the forgiveness of your sins. Repent and be baptized. That was always the command. In every case in the New Testament regarding baptism, the command was twofold. You need to repent. That means you need to understand what you're doing. You need to understand what your sinful life has led to, and you need to turn away from that and come to God. That's the reason we don't baptize babies. Babies can't repent. Babies can't understand the gospel. A person has to be able to understand they're a sinner and separated from God, and they have to repent and then be baptized. He said the same thing in the book of Acts chapter 10. Can anyone withhold water? So we're talking about water baptism for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what we have is this. We've got Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, the Jews and the Gentiles, what Peter commanded. In both places, he commands the same thing. He commands baptism, repentance in both places, because this is the command of God. I want you to look at what he says here. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. So Acts chapter 2, the apostles, he preached, repent and be baptized. Over here to the Gentiles, repent and be baptized. And then Paul comes along and he says, here's the deal. If you've repented and been baptized, you're a part of one another. He says, as far as God's concerned, this is the same thing Peter said in Acts 10. There's no Jew and Gentile anymore. It doesn't matter if you're a slave, if you're free. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are. If you will repent and be baptized, you can receive that Holy Ghost that all mankind has access to now. If you don't, you know what baptism you get? There will be a baptism, and it'll be the baptism of fire someday. So, Paul, one more time, talks about this in Ephesians. And he says this, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the hope, to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in you all. So what he says here is there's one body. It doesn't matter if you're in Nigeria or America. It doesn't matter if you lived in 10 AD or you live in 1000 AD or 10,000 AD. It doesn't matter. If you're a child of God, you share these things. We have one Lord. Do you think we share one Lord? Do you serve the Lord Jesus Christ? I do. All Christians do. There's one God. You think there's a bunch of gods? Do you think Shiva's really a god? No, there's one God. All Christians share that one God. There's one hope. What's your hope? Your hope is the same as mine. There's one faith. We have one faith. There's one baptism. You say, one baptism. Well, didn't you start by saying there's three baptisms? There are more than one baptism talked about in the Bible, but there's only one baptism for Christians. And that baptism for Christians is baptism in water. It's the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So let me conclude with our summary. There's three baptisms that we've talked about today. The promise of the Holy Spirit baptism. It happened twice and opened the kingdom to all people who will come to Christ. There is the baptism in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins or forgiveness of sin. And that's commanded to all people. And then finally, there's the baptism of fire that is coming for all who will not come to Jesus Christ and be baptized in His name for forgiveness of sin. I hope this has been useful to you. I hope you understand maybe a little more clearly. Now, when you hear someone talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you should know what it is now. You should know that that was the access of the world to Jesus Christ for salvation. When you hear about the baptism of fire, if you're willing to repent and be baptized in water, you don't have to fear the baptism of fire. Someone who won't repent, there will be a baptism someday, and that'll be a baptism of fire. So my question to you is this. Do you share that one baptism with the rest of Christianity? Do you share, just like you share one Lord, one faith, one hope, do you share that one baptism? Have you been baptized with the baptism of repentance in water for the forgiveness of your sins? Yes, you have. I hope you have. If you haven't, you can be today. We offer a song of invitation if you'll come to the front and make your needs known while we stand and sing.